Hi guys.
Hello everyone.
Welcome to another amazing episode of Bands with Bunye. And on this segment, I'm here with my girl, my favorite person right now, my Bible study partner. Her name is ID. Okay, you have to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm ID. I'm the person that she's talking about.
okay, that's serious. Okay. So yeah, on last episode we talked about Bible study, how well to study your Bible, how to go about it, context, concept, all of that. And on this episode we're going to do the Bible study proper. So for the past week we studied three chapters of the book of Ephesians, and in the coming week we'll be studying another three chapters. The book of Ephesians has six chapters, and we'll keep going with three chapters for other books as time progresses, so you can join us and study with us and, you know, join us for discussions every week. Because you know the amazing thing, yeah, mm-hmm. is that is the way, even if you want to like summarize stuff, there's so much. I mean, ID and I just spent hours.
dissecting
Ephesians 1-3.
Only. Yeah, like,
and it was so exciting, but I don't think it's a time wasted at all. And yeah, but we tried. We really did it. We have 10 points.
Yeah.
We tried. So so we have 10 points from Ephesians 1-3. A quick summary, quick. So let's get to it. So first point is from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. And that is that God chose us from the start. It's God that was doing the choosing, not man. And this is so fundamental to understanding our Christianity and understanding our faith. Because what we see is that there's a lot of Christianity around that is based on yourself. Do you get, like, mm-hmm. people now, like, God do this for me. Like, why should God do it for you? Like, it's not about you. Mm-hmm. And really, when we start to understand that Christianity is not about you, fundamentally, Christianity is about God. And everything that God did, he did for himself. That's fact. So God chose us from the foundation of the world. See that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 for his good pleasure. So yeah.
Okay, yeah. The next point is he chose us because of himself.
Which is like a repeat that, of what I just said.
That's about to what you just said.
Yeah.
So let me just quickly read it. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Yeah.
And the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So like he did it for himself because he is gracious, because he loved us, because he is kind. He did it not because of anything that we did, lest any man should boast.
So yeah.
We have no contribution to this. It is just
because
of
God. Yes. God did it because of God.
Yeah. He saw the need and he did it. Provided.
So like we received salvation even before we knew that we needed salvation. Which is so beautiful. It's encouraging. So like all, like, you know how there's often like, gosh, I didn't do something right, and you know, you start to condemn yourself.
Before you even felt that way, God knew you would feel that way. So
yeah. Like,
Every need is literally supplied.
Yes, because he knew, like, he was like there on the scene, and he said, "Ah, these guys need to be saved.
They are going to stress themselves for nothing. Feel guilt for nothing.
Literally, that's God.
Let's take care of this.
And so God took care of it fundamentally. Oh my God. Fundamentally for our sake. Okay, another point is that the Holy Spirit is our stamp and our guarantee. This cannot be overstressed. This cannot be stressed enough. Yeah, because this is the thing, yeah. How do you know you're saved? Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom also have you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed, after which you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how you know. When you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's just that simple. That's the way you know. Mm-hmm. That's your "issue for me."
Yeah.
That's your "issue for me" moment. Do you get? Mm-hmm. And so like, it's not like I'm guessing. There's so much certainty in God. Yeah. Like God doesn't want us to guess. That's what we have there. The hope that we have in Christ. And Eddie just mentioned this. The hope that we have in Christ is
not a hope for probability.
Yeah. It's certain.
Hope for like, assurance. Like,
why show me sure. Die. Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah. That's what we have, and we have the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our stamp and our guarantee. It's our down payment. That's how some versions put it. Versions put it as a down payment. And there's an analogy my pastor often talks about back in school, where he says, you know, like when you want to buy something. For example, I want to buy your phone. And okay, I'm like, okay, I'm going to deposit this amount of money with you, and then so that you know that I'm serious about buying this phone. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's an analogy. It's not an exact description. Because you see, the thing is, God didn't deposit some part of himself. He gave us all of himself. Like, he gave us the fullness of himself. So it's like, the Holy Spirit being a down payment is the complete down payment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm giving you all the money, Sha.
Yeah, we're ready.
So you know, like, it's the complete thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so go.
Okay, so the next thing is, we were dead, but we are now alive in Christ.
Yeah.
So that's chapter 2, verse 1.
Yeah.
So yeah, Paul was just talking here about how all the things that we were before, he really just, you know, brought out all the things that we thought we knew about ourselves.
like
who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience.
Like,
he just like
he kept on calling
out.
Us out, like,
yeah,
see
like
you,
this
people
is
know.
Who you were, but yeah. Like, because God is so gracious, because God is so kind, this is who you are now.
Now
you are righteous, you are now alive,
you're not dead.
You are literally a dead guy.
Yeah, but like a dead guy.
But like now you have life, therefore like nothing can hold you down in any sort of grave. Nothing should
hold you
no
down.
No guilt whatsoever.
Because you're alive.
Yeah, like, you are. Yeah,
you're alive. Like, this is the real life.
Yeah,
yeah.
In Christ, you're alive in Christ. In the holiest of all holies. So therefore, you are holy.
Ah, boss. Yeah. Okay. So next point, is you're taking next point. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he goes ahead to say that we have authority in Christ because we are seated in Him. Now in Ephesians 1, Paul talked about how Christ is seated in heavenly places,
yeah.
And God has put Christ in, like, God has put Christ to sit with Him in heavenly places.
And that heavenly is speaking of a high place, like a place of authority,
above all powers, above all names, and I'm paraphrasing. Sorry, above everything.
Yeah,
in this time and in
and
the time
to come, the ages to come.
So that's just emphasizing the authority of Christ, that Christ is the head of everything.
Yeah.
Now, if we are seated in Christ, in this same heavenly places that He's seated,
like,
how much more us? Like, do you understand the amount of
authority
that is in you,
like,
that you carry around?
Exactly.
You are not any ordinary person. Like, you shouldn't be threatened by what you see around you, because you are seated in Christ in the same place of authority that He is seated. So that is just a very powerful.
Yeah. Story. And I like how he went on in that same chapter 2, from verse 8 to 10, where he's like, okay, this is true. You're seated in heavenly places. You have authority with Christ Jesus. But don't go around boasting, because it's not about you.
It's not about
Like, how that's the first thing. It's not about you. So he goes, you were saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, how much more self-explanatory can that verse be? So it's not about you. All you did was you just had faith. The whole thing is by grace. So you're seated in heavenly places by grace. All the spiritual blessings you have is by grace. Do you get?
And it's through the fact that you have faith in
Christ.
Faith
in Christ Jesus. That's all. So like Pastor will always say, the only contribution that you had to your salvation is the sin that made it possible. Yeah. Right? That's your only contribution to your salvation.
Like, you just have to exist and sin.
Like, that's all. And like, God is like, nah, I got you. Yeah. I got you. Alright, yeah. So, also, yeah. Christ is the foundation of the church. So when we realize that it's not about us, I like saying this is not about us. Honestly, that's how I crossed into 2020. Pastor Marwa was like, "It's not about you," and I was like, "I get it, sir. I receive it." So it's not about me. So yeah, the foundation of the church. That verse says that God is the chief cornerstone. You know, like the prophets and the apostles, they are building up the church, they're preaching and all of that. But last, no better foundation, and this is another verse I just thought about, no better foundation shall any man lay except that which is laid in Christ Jesus. I don't know what verse that is, but I'll find it, because that verse is the exact thing that Paul alludes to here, that no matter how much the apostles and like the prophets are preaching and they're building you up, the foundation, like, what it is, you're standing on Christ. So Joshua, a good friend of mine, Joshua Kesena, he's going to be on this episode, so watch out for him. So Joshua says, when you fall, if by any chance you make a mistake, something bad happens, you do something, you're not falling to oblivion, you're falling back to grace, you're falling back on Christ. So Christ is our foundation. Let's go.
The Gentiles and the Jews are united, and they are all righteous
in Christ Jesus.
Let me use this to illustrate us, like, our lives in the present time. Like, this is just describing how we are now added to the body of Christ. How we're no more outside of it, but we're in it. And we're now, like, before you were saved, you were the Gentiles. Before you received Christ, you were outside, you were in the law. And now the Jews can no more see you as an uncircumcised
person.
Which
was by hand anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny how somebody who is a human being cuts your foreskin,
and then you walk around feeling like
you're righteous.
Yeah,
what was that about?
Yeah,
you guys think about
like it was a man that did it.
Like, calm down. Where is your pride coming from?
Yeah. So finally, when Jesus died on the cross, he took away that division
enmity
between the Jews and the Gentiles.
And that enmity was the law.
Yeah, it was really?
the commandment.
It was the command that was it was the rules that were saying you guys should not do this, and the Jews were following the law and
as much as they could.
Yeah, and they were the circumcised ones. The Gentiles were the outlaws.
Yeah.
So when Jesus died, everyone was righteous in him. Everyone who accepted him, believed in him.
Yeah.
So like that is us in this present time. Like, once we accept, once we believe, once we walk in what has already been laid forward for us, we are no more like outlaws. We're no more outside of the promise.
Yeah. We're now a part of it. Amazing. Glory! Okay, so the mystery of God's purpose is no longer hidden. And I like this point as well, because what we see is that people are trying to, God, reveal it to me. God, reveal it to me. God, show it to me. That's a constant prayer point. And I'm like, wait, what are you praying for? Exactly. Do you get? Because he's saying that, see, this mystery is not hidden. He's saying, when you read it, you will see it. And what is that mystery? That the Gentiles, okay, I'm gonna just read it because I can't remember it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that, so this mystery has been hidden, but this is the mystery, to the intent that now. This is the revelation of the mystery. So listen, in case you keep praying for that, listen right now. That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places.
Yeah.
This is fact, yeah.
I love this point that you said.
I love this point. Yeah. So, like, this is the mystery of God. And that mystery is that we take God's wisdom, yeah? And God's wisdom is in Christ Jesus,
yeah,
dying for everybody. And what he has done. Like, what he has done is, like, it's all spiritual blessings. What he has done is giving us the Holy Spirit. What he has done is eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I keep saying, eternal life, salvation, is the gift that keeps giving.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we have to do, which was the mystery, which they didn't get,
mm-hmm,
is to make known this wisdom to heavenly places, like, which they did get. And I just told Idea about this thing. So, yeah, Godfrey Golden has this album. It's called Kingdom Life. And in that album, there's an interlude called Heavenly Places, where he speaks about how we're called to not just speak to the people here on earth. You know the authority we have? We are seated right now, you and I,
mm-hmm,
in an innumerable company of angels. There are angels around us right now. The authority that we have is that we stand at a place of authority with Christ Jesus, that as he sends our instructions to the principalities and powers,
mm-hmm,
we can do that. Like, us, like, small you in this body, in this tabernacle that will fade away, that will get old and have pimples and all of that stuff, small you can actually get to do that. Mm-hmm. And we've been called not just to speak to the people on earth here, we've been called to speak to those people. See, you can affect things in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can call things how God called things that were not as though they were. You can call things that are not as though they are. Like,
mm-hmm,
you can make those things into being because you're in the right authority. Like, whatever place of physical authority you have is amazing. It's good. It's good to have a sphere of influence. It's good to have a place where you can, you know, influence things and decisions here on earth. But see, the biggest, and if you're not here, you're not here, man. If, mm-hmm, you're not here, please come here because it's sweet over here, you know. But, like, the sweetest influence is seated in heaven places. That's the best authority. That's, yeah, the authority I want. That's fine. I'm satisfied. I'm full. I'm... Whew. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in everything that God has done for us, maybe the people seated with him in the heavenly places, they don't understand very well.
Yeah.
We are the ones that are now to show them in our everyday lives, in the testimony that we are living, that,
yeah,
this is how wise and gracious God is. Yeah. We give that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Okay, fine. We're actually 18 minutes in on this segment. I will try to do a 10-minute segment, guys. Please bear with us. I hope you're enjoying this as much as we are.
Yeah.
So, we have the last point, which is the 10th point.
And the most important
point. I love this point so much. So I had an idea. Yeah, when we finished study, like, this was the last point in chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having goosebumps.
Yeah.
Thinking about God's love.
This point brought us so much joy.
Yeah.
It talks about the boundless love of Christ. Let me just read that from Ephesians 3 from verses 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. This is just explaining that God's love is big and strong and deep
and wide and, like, beyond what we can think or imagine. I mean, think of the widest thing and you're not still there.
It's beyond, it surpasses all understanding. So when you're thinking, oh, I just did this or I just did that, and maybe God is mad because if I love someone and he did this to me, I'll be mad, then you still don't understand God's love.
How can you limit God to yourself?
Exactly. Do you understand? Like, love is so huge. Like, before you were even born to even do
anything,
commit a sin, he had anticipated all these sins, forgiven you for it, loved you, and lived in
inside.
You.
Inside.
So, like, this love is, and we, and even in that explanation, you still can't comprehend.
Yeah.
I still can't. No one can.
No one. You can't bring your human mind to
grasp
death.
It.
I mean, Paul wants us to, but you know how deep this thing is. Like, and this is like encouragement to like keep walking.
Yeah.
Because as you keep walking, you're discovering more depth. You're discovering more width.
Yeah.
You're discovering just how great God's love is, how God's love covers you and holds you dear. Mm-hmm. And he's like, my child. And
it's so boundless.
Like,
it's so beautiful. It's more than all that we could ask for. It's the most beautiful gift in the whole entire wide world.
Like I said, if you're not here, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because God's love is available to every single person. It's available to you right now, even while you're blaspheming it, even while you don't like it, even while you don't believe in it,
even while you're struggling in it.
It's there. It's right there right now. So, yeah.
I think that's a wrap.
I enjoyed the segment so much. Yeah, and if you guys enjoyed this segment, you can leave a comment. Adi, do you have like social media they can reach you on? Adi is on a social media break right now.
Yeah.
So like, but you can reach me and then I'll tell Adi. Oh, Adi, they love you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay guys, so reach me on She Fancies That, and yeah, we're signing out now. And stay tuned for the next segment.
Bye.
Hi guys, so this is the Christian Take segment, and I know I talked about it in my first episode. So on this episode, I'm here with Joshua.
Hi guys.
What's
up?
Hey.
It's so nice to be here. Bounce. I remember the first time I heard your podcast. I was driving to work, and then I think you tweeted something about it. And then, sorry, I saw your I followed Selema first, and
okay.
I saw her. She followed you.
Oh, okay.
And I saw you had a podcast, and I was looking for people to search
podcast.
To understand podcast. So I then followed you, and now listening to your design, it was just awesome.
Aww, thank you, guys. Like, it was such an encouragement when you reached out to me and said, "Oh, I like your podcast." And then you tweeted about it. I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I'm doing something right."
Yeah, it was awesome.
So thank you, Joshua.
Thank you for having me.
So on this episode, we're going to be talking about, what do I call it? Do I call it cheating in marriage? Or
if we're going to talk about the men,
yeah,
mostly
cheating,
we should just talk about stupidity. Honestly, it's a very stupid thing. Like, we should talk about weakness, because that's the idea of what strength is, of what powerful men is. It's wrong. The idea, it's not power. Okay, a person has political power, person has money. That's not what power
is.
A powerful man or a strong man is.
Yeah,
strong man is being able to say no to the weakness in you, the weakness, the temptation of the weakness.
Being able to say no to the things that you could do.
Yes, you could do, because you have the ability to do it. And it's okay. Society terms it as okay. Do you understand?
But that's not.
There was a time I usually don't call in on radio stations, but I was driving and they were talking about how, well, let's talk about how men, what men cheating, and how it's your opinion on men cheating. So people were calling, they were like, oh, it's normal for men cheat. It's just how you handle it. Or women too were calling. And
yeah, I've actually had a conversation with a friend who said it's normal. I know men will cheat.
Yeah,
I'm just going to buy him condoms.
Yeah,
and this, and I'm like,
that's what people were calling, and I was so annoyed. And I called. I was like, you can't say you love somebody. You can't claim to love somebody and cheat on that person. It's not possible.
Yeah.
But the guy was like, oh no. After I ranted and said you can't say you love somebody and cheat on the person, and I just spoke like, that's very stupid.
Yeah.
Men cannot continue cheating and think it's okay.
Yeah.
If we say women are equal to us,
yeah,
okay, women cheating, how do men take it? It's a very wrong thing. It's like a taboo.
Yes, like, oh my goodness.
Crossstones. How could you do that? You understand? So now if we're going to put it in that way. So why are we not saying it's okay for men to cheat?
Men to cheat.
So after I ranted and he now caught the call, he was like, oh, he doesn't agree with my view. He feels that it's okay. Like if a man cheats, he can still be in love with the person he cheats. I'm like, that's just...
Well, and that's another angle. Okay, I saw a tweet that the guy said, you know, men are not emotional when it comes to sex, but women are emotionally attached. So if they're cheating with someone, that means they're emotionally attached to the person. Meanwhile, if you as a man is cheating on your wife, you're not emotionally attached to the person you're cheating with. Do you see how
it's
the idea?
I'll tell you what they mean.
Yeah.
What they mean is that women are higher intelligent beings than men. Such that no, I'm being honest.
Oh my god.
Such that they have accessed a level that sex supposed to have, where you're emotionally entwined with the person to enjoy the sex. For the sex to be meaningful. Men have not reached that. A lot of men have not reached that. I don't generally blanket because I know I have friends that actually. So men have not reached that place where they're emotionally intelligent to know that, okay, for me to have sex with this person, I need to be emotionally entwined in such with a way that person. I will enjoy the sex. And the only place that gives that emotional entwinement is marriage. You understand? So men, like, that's what that person means. That's what that person
means. And that's very sad because it's like equating your emotional standards to perhaps an animalistic standards.
Exactly. Women talk about things. They talk about their emotions. They cry it out. But men,
which is important.
It's very important. But men don't do that. They feel like, oh, it's something weak. Oh, we can't talk about emotions. Oh, we can't cry. Oh, we're men. We're not supposed to have those kind of things. But when you don't have that, you don't access a level of being.
Yeah.
That you're supposed to have.
The humanity. You're taking out the humanity.
Have you heard this thing that women have more? Women, they are more inclined to. What's that word? Where you can do plenty of things at the same time.
Multitasking.
Okay.
Yeah.
They put women multitask more.
Yeah.
The only reason why women can multitask more is because they are superior emotionally intelligent. That's why they can multitask.
Yeah.
But men can't do that because they haven't been taught to express. It can only happen when you express your emotions. You get to know yourself more.
Better. Yeah. More emotional intelligence.
Exactly. Emotional intelligence.
And like a quick shout out to my friend Precious Gaza. She's having an emotional intelligence class on the 25th of January with Salema Enang. So
can men go?
Yes. Everybody, because everybody needs to go for that stuff. Yeah. So I will link the payment in the description box so you guys can click on that, and you can find it on Twitter as well. So all of that information. Anyway, back to this conversation. So now there was this take, okay, there was this thing that happened recently where this wife went to a mall in Lagos and beat up her husband's side chick. So we saw varying takes. We saw people who went, this is one of the takes, people who said, how can you beat up a side chick? Your husband cheated against, not the side chick. You get, the side chick is not a part of your family. So your husband cheated on you. So how do you go to the side chick, face your husband, but you know you can't face your husband? And that's something that I know a lot of women are going through, where I can't really like speak up. I can't really say anything. And then because they want somewhere to take out that anger, that frustration, and then they're going out to take it on the side chick. So what do you think, Christianly? Do you think it's right to have gone after the side chick
for any reason,
even without beating her,
even a minor altercation you have, let's not even go all the way to cheating. Any minor, even if the person insults you, it's not this is who we are. This is not who we are to attack somebody. We are peace. Like the person we say we are submitted to was killed wrongfully. He was slapped
Jesus
wrongfully.
Christ was persecuted. Do you understand? wrongfully.
Do you understand? And it was not that they were his mates. Like, do you understand? Yeah. These were not his mates.
You know, I remember a statement Jesus made in front of Pilate.
He said
he about his army.
You guys
are not my mates.
Do you understand? So if we're going to be submitted to him, then we can't do that. First, secondly, I'm going to take it from the woman's perspective. When you're dating somebody, you know, like, it's impossible to hide a superior mindset. A superior mindset where you feel you're more
entitled.
You're more entitled than women. Like you're more entitled is a sugar-coated way of saying it.
Yeah.
You feel like women are beneath you. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like it's I've come across men. I was one of those men. Do you understand? Like
yeah.
if I'm going to be, I was one Honest, of those men. Yeah. Do you understand? So I know how we think.
Yeah.
And there are things we do from the get-go when we start dating you, or when we start toasting you.
Yeah.
To make sure that that idea is there, put out there.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
So it's in the human subconscious.
Exactly, it's there. So going forward,
yeah.
we do like one of the major things we do is I don't want you to spend anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want you to don't buy me. I'll buy for you.
That's
submission. It just makes you be
feel
dependent
like,
on
yes,
them.
Yes, it feels like you owe him something.
Yes. So that comes in. Do you understand? And that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Do you understand? So it's something that cannot be over. Emphasize.
Okay.
So that's a problem that needs to be tackled. Especially women need to see that. Like, I know the funny thing. Always, like, I've talked to a lot of women that have had issues like this, and 100% they see. But they ignore it.
Yeah, they're like, it's not a big deal.
It's not, yeah, they see, but when you get inside, it's when you get into marriage that you know that this was a problem.
Like, it was an
have,
issue. I should have talked
issue.
About
I should have,
it.
I should have talked
yeah,
spoken up
about
you
it.
Because men like to assert themselves, and it's a problem that it's the emptiest barrels make the loudest noise. Do you understand? So they like to assert what they like to assert themselves because they're not sure in themselves.
Mm.
Do you understand? So
yeah.
they like to project.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Like
they like to project when they are not sure in themselves. I've been like, I know a lot of guys, he listens to this might feel like, oh, this guy is just being stupid. Like, oh,
yeah, like,
or a girl can listen to, oh, this guy is just talking.
Yeah.
Trash. But I was one of those men.
Yeah, so
do you understand?
I can
so
tell
I,
you.
I know exactly this. Like, okay, for example, my last relationship before I got saved and then I got married later on. I cheated from the get-go. But then she cheated twice. But those two times, I lorded it over for the rest of our relationship.
Yeah.
But from the, I was cheating constantly. She never, like...
And she knew about
she,
it.
She did not know. Like, I was so good. Bad. So good.
Yeah.
But I hid it well enough. And she didn't know. But the one... Or
then she
cheated
on
what?
You.
It was something that we never... The conversation never ceased.
Ended.
It never ended. Do you understand? So
yeah.
It's something that we I don't know if it's culture that teaches us that. But it's something that we just come to realize. We just come to live and we feel it's okay.
It's okay.
But a lot of men cheat themselves in the sense that you cannot have a fulfilling relationship with that mindset.
Yeah.
You will not like you keep looking outside for something that you could have gotten inside.
You
could cultivate inside, but you'll never even get it.
Yeah.
Because this is who you think, this is who you are, and this is who you have agreed to be.
To be, that's the most important thing. Agree to be, because
it's
not something you're helpless.
Yes, with. Yes, yes.
Men are this way. It's not something. It doesn't mean you're helpless.
Exactly.
That way. I mean,
exactly.
You can change.
Exactly.
And most importantly, we're Christians. Obviously, this is a Christian podcast.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to say that.
Yeah.
So we're Christians, and we know that our tree. Like using the saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Our tree is Christ.
Yes.
So there's no way you're the apple from the tree that is Christ, and you're trying to exhibit.
Become orange or tangerine behaviors or lemon. give lemon behaviors.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid. Let's not be. Like
so,
I literally don't have patience with this, with men for these things. Like,
this,
I don't have patience,
like,
because it's not. You know, it's different when it's something you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Is wrong or something you don't really know you're doing, and then you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Every
but
man,
they know. They know, yeah.
You know, and the guilt comes with it, but over the time you just suppress it.
Yeah, like it's okay. Another take that people had, and this was many men, like the one we just read recently, where the guy said, if his wife goes to beat up his side chick.
Uh-huh.
That he would
upgrade
his wife. He would upgrade his side chick to wife and then drop his wife.
Like, how can his wife disgrace him like that?
Like
all of that.
The ownership.
Like, that's where men don't, like, men don't see women as equals. Like, I don't think people, like, we try to sugarcoat this thing. Oh, let's do gender equality. What do you think? Should women have the same
paycheck,
same opportunities as men?
But there's so many things, and when you look at those things, you realize that they don't actually see women as people.
They don't see women as equals. Do you understand? They see women as beneath them. Yeah. I'll give you an example. There's a neighbor I have, right? He goes out a lot. Do you understand? Yeah. Like, he goes out to go hang out with the guys, to go and drink and all of that. Mm-hmm. But his wife can't do that.
Which is
that, do you understand? Like, that's oh my huge, god. Like, his wife can't do that. Do you understand? Like, okay, there was a time my wife wanted to go out, so I took, she expressed breast milk for my 4-month-old baby.
Yeah.
And then she went to have fun, and I took care of the baby. So some of my friends were calling, how far? I was like, oh no, I'm at home taking care of my child. They felt as if
something is wrong with this,
do you understand? I just disassociated myself with that friend, honestly, because when I realized that was his take, I don't understand how. I know most men try to project the fact that, okay, we should be equal, women should be equal, and all that. And that's the kind of person he was, projecting that fact. But when it came to the nitty gritty, he had a problem with it. So I just disassociated myself. I don't want, I don't have time. Or I don't have time.
Honestly, so that's, that's part of the issue. Because I think if you should see a woman as, or a wife as someone that, you don't give your wife the status wife just as much as she didn't give you the status husband.
Yeah.
Your husband and wife, because you're married. You're
together.
Yes. So I mean,
you're not acquiring property.
Do you get? So that was the idea. Yeah. Like, I would downgrade. Like, it's like
property.
So this is the last take concerning this cheating issue. There was the take that telling the wife not to go after the side chick was like supporting the side chick, like saying, yeah, side chicks should go ahead and snatch people's husbands and stuff. And I'm sitting here wondering how it equates. It's just like when you tell someone you do not have to work for salvation, and someone says, oh, are you saying we should sin?
It doesn't add up. The problem is this. I'm tired. Like, the man is the problem. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Why are we focusing on the woman to begin with?
In the first place, my issue.
Honestly, that's not right. What the woman did was not right.
Yeah.
But understand with her. Like, she's tired. Like,
she's desperate. She's hurt.
Exactly.
She's frustrated.
Yeah. So, like, no, man, you can't say, like, but it's not right for her to go. The problem is, we're not talking from, people don't see that from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
Secondly, people claim to be Christian, but they don't understand what it means to be Christian. You forgo a lot of things because of Christ. Do you understand? If Christ forgave you,
so you also have to forgive.
You have to forgive, like, also.
It's
so,
by force.
It's not a question. Do you understand? So, people saying we telling her not to go and confront her is
condoning
side chicks and all of that.
There's also a question I want to ask, because for a side chick to exist, that means there's a man who has a main chick that needs a
side chick. Points back to the man. Like, all these things are just taking our focus away from the main issue.
So what do you think is a solution now? Not a solution to the woman. Obviously, we've mentioned that, it's not right for her to have gone after, first of all. And then, you can't keep saying, let them not be side chicks, like, the issue is not the man. So what do you think is a solution for a man who says, oh, I feel like I can't let go of cheating, like, I've been in so many relationships, I've tried, and then I just... And what exactly do you think is the man's solution to that?
First and foremost, the solution I have basically is Christ.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And then secondly, like, we've been shown a propaganda from when we were young.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Little things have built
men into this, our culture, for one.
Yeah.
Do you understand? People say, okay, are you saying, people say this thing that men are not meant to be with one person. Like,
Men forefathers are polygamous in nature.
See, like, first and foremost, for our forefathers to marry those women, they didn't take them by force. The women agreed to be married. Do you understand? Yeah. And then, as a man, you can't just go having any woman you want.
Yeah.
So, even if it costs cultural, some cultures may accept, okay, more than one wife.
Yeah.
Some other cultures might not accept more than one wife. It tells that, okay, women are not properties to acquire, because a man can't just go having any woman he wants.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So, dead that prerogative, dead that idea. Second, also, the examples that are out there are not examples that show men being faithful in relationships. Not just being faithful. You know, there's a way you're being faithful and you're just managing, you're just living. You're just being faithful because of being faithful. You're not being faithful because you actually love and care for this person. I did not see any example like that until I visited my wife, who was my friend then, and I saw it in her church. Her father is a reverend. I saw it with her mother and her father. These people have been married for close to 30 years. 29, just did their 29th anniversary. And they love it. Like, they forget people, they forget their children and just be in their own world. And then they have friends who are the same thing.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful for me to see old people. Like, there was this couple, they have great grandchildren. And they are so in love with each other. Like, when they were telling their story, the man was blushing, the woman was blushing at some time. Like, they were rubbing each other's hands. Like, it was so beautiful to see. So, we have not been shown these examples. Do you understand? To look up to say, okay, it's actually possible. So, what I've been shown is, people who are wealthy, who have baby mamas, who cheat,
and it's very frequent.
It's very frequent. That's what we've seen. So that's what has been shown. So people who are faithful and beautiful relationship exist and need to come out and speak up.
Yeah,
like we need to. Like, it's not enough to just say, okay, I'm faithful, I love my wife, and I'm cool. You need to actually speak up when these kind of things happen. And this is wrong.
So I'm in a faithful marriage, and I'm faithful
because exactly
of this person.
Exactly.
Not just,
and I'm so grateful for the community that I'm part of on Twitter.
Yeah,
because the men.
Christian Twitter is amazing.
It's amazing. Guys. Like, the men just come up and this is rubbish.
Yeah.
Not only the
people,
women.
Not even just the married ones.
Exactly, not just the married ones.
Which is amazing. This is beautiful.
So, more of it needs to happen. Yeah. It's happening, but more of it needs to happen. So, we need to have conversations also.
Yeah.
With the surrounding men. Like,
call men and hold them accountable.
Let me give you a breakdown. First and foremost, what are countries made up of?
Yeah.
Countries are made up of states.
Yeah.
Right? A country is made up of states.
States.
States are made up of communities. Yeah. Communities are made up of families.
Yeah.
Families are made up of children, wife, and man. The man is the head of the home. If you want to attack a whole nation, you attack the man first.
Yeah.
So the world is suffering because the man has been attacked. And he doesn't know he's been attacked. So it's still going on. So what we need to do is correct.
He thinks it's cool. He's right.
He's right. Do you understand?
He's doing the wrong thing.
Exactly. Big. Do you understand? And the thing with this thing is, okay, you feel like it's like smoking crack, right? Or taking cocaine. Yeah. I was addicted to cocaine before I got saved. But taking cocaine, you feel like you're on top of the world. You're doing something good, but it's hurting you. The moment it's not as if the first time you take it. Maybe after years of taking it, it starts hurting you, it damages you. So that's the same thing with this toxic masculinity and cheating and all of that. You think you're enjoying, but it's crippling you.
Yeah,
it's really crippling who you're meant to be and understanding yourself and functioning as you're supposed to be.
The highest version of yourself.
Yes, the idea of success has been, you make money, you have a house, you have investments,
you have women.
You're well to do, you have your health and all of that. That's not even it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So men need to understand that being a strong man, being
a successful man
starts with your emotional intelligence.
Starts from within.
Starts with how you cherish and treasure the woman you claim to love.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the idea of love needs to be checked.
Yeah.
The definition of love needs to be checked. It's people think it's an emotion.
That's an entire other podcast.
It's an entire other podcast. But then that's
yeah,
that's
because it's not an emotion. It's a choice. Decision, yes. So if I've made a decision to love someone, why would you make a counter decision to be unfaithful to someone?
Yeah. Then there's this.
What cheating does is. It's so destructive.
It's so selfish.
Infidelity is that's the only, I think that's what motivates infidelity. Yeah. So when you're selfless and when you understand the selflessness of Christ,
yeah,
which is just that ultimate example,
yes,
when you understand that, then it's easy for you to look away from, oh, I have feelings for this person. It's easy for you to look away from feelings emotions. Yes.
Feelings are just chemical reactions. They're not facts.
You know. I said this. It's just hormones
that are just spiking. They're not fast. So it just goes to say, and then also the idea that you can still be in love but you can cheat. Like I think it's so stupid. Some men have never sent large sums of money to the wrong account.
Yeah.
How do they do that? Like how if you can still make a mistake, like how do they do that? Some men have never you can't drive home. You can't drive the wrong home when you're going home because there are parameters you check,
yeah,
the parameters, there are structures you've put in place that okay, this is where I'm supposed to drive home.
Mm-hmm.
There are structures you put in place that you don't send the amount of money to the wrong account. You cross check,
yeah,
if you can't do that,
then
you can't,
why would you cross check when
you understand? You can't, it's not a mistake. You can't, yeah, like, there are things you
like,
need to.
You there's a lot of things you went through when you were going to it worked to cheat. A friend of mine told me it takes a lot to cheat.
It does.
Because you have to dodge, you have to like hide or this and that.
Yeah.
Isn't that a lot of stress?
It's a lot of stress. It's really a lot of stress. Coming from me, from a serial cheater, it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of stress, a lot of finances, a lot of
money
to do that. So like that you should dead that excuse that you can be in love but mistakes happen. You don't make mistakes when you're driving home.
Yeah.
Because you have structures. The same thing. You put structures in place. You put structures in place to make sure you don't cheat.
You don't cheat.
Keep yourself accountable. Yes. One of the best structures is, I don't understand why you've been in marriage and then you have passwords on your phone that your wife doesn't have. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you're honest with your conversations,
mm-hmm,
if you know that okay, my wife has access to all my conversations,
mm-hmm,
it will keep you, that's one thing that will keep you in check.
Yeah.
But the moment you want to have a conversation and you don't want your wife to know about it,
then you alarms go off. Something is wrong.
Yes, so you just
stop
back
it. Yeah, exactly. You back off.
And
also like keeping accountable, I think it's also important, like not just with your wife, which is very important, mm-hmm, as well, but to have people you look up to, perhaps in the faith.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? That's the problem. Men don't want to be accountable to anyone. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem.
Like Pastor Aaron will always say, if your man does not submit to anyone,
yes, it's a huge
then
problem.
Don't submit to him. Don't submit to anyone who cannot submit, which is just simple.
Yeah,
that's the biggest issue. Okay, fine. We've gone way past time, but yes, thank you so much, Joshua,
for
this
me.
Segment and this episode. You guys, that was Joshua, Josh the Famed on Twitter? Yes. Yeah, Instagram.
Yes, I have Instagram. Joshua Kesena.
Joshua Kesena. Okay. Yeah. So you guys, you'll see all about his baby and his beautiful wife on his social media. Follow him on social media. Thank you so much,
Thank
Joshua.
You for having me. Yeah.
Bye, guys. Bye. This is the last segment for this episode. I was bargaining about 30 minutes and I ended up spending 20 minutes plus on Bible study and another 15 minutes-ish on the Christian Take, which was absolutely an amazing segment. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Or you guys must have heard it if you're at the segment already. So thank you for staying tuned if you stayed this far in. I hope everyone stays this far in. This segment is the scriptural concept segment, and I want to talk about grace. Grace is fundamental to a Christian life. Grace is by far, I believe, the most fundamental scriptural concept, and that is why I'm taking it as the first concept that we talk about. Why is it the most fundamental? We'll see that in a moment. I'll be trying with only two scriptures, trying as much as possible with only two scriptures to describe grace as a scriptural concept. So it's not the best, so you can go into your Bible and, you know, check out grace within the context of scriptures and see the things that I say are provable. Another thing I wanted to talk about before we get into it is that when you're listening to a preacher, or you're listening to a Christian podcast, or you're listening to Christian material, or you're reading a Christian book, I want you to always remember that nobody is a body of information. Like, nobody's an island of information. So don't expect that when I get information from this person, I get it all right. No, make sure that your information is backed by scripture. So you're not just like, oh, I heard this girl talk about this, but the scripture talk about it though. So yeah, make sure you go back to scripture after this podcast, or even during the podcast if you like, that's fine as well. So one major or one definition of grace that I know that I'm quite familiar with, and I don't know if everyone else is familiar with that definition, is that grace is unmerited favor. That will need us to describe favor a bit, but favor is simply favoritism, so good for us. So basically, when you go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we see favor described as, we see grace, sorry, described as simple favor. Like when something great happens for you, people will describe that as luck. Oh, things happen in your way, things are going great for you. You know, I need money for tax collectors, and Jesus goes, go to the fish, get it. And then you're like, ooh, favor. Ooh, the grace of God. And that's great as well, because miracles do happen now, and those sort of things can still happen right now. But then when we move on into the new covenant, and that's after the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. So I know I mentioned in my first episode that the new covenant is documented in the New Testament after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we move on into that, we see a different dimension or a different definition to grace. They don't just see grace as, ooh, something good happened for you. They happen to see grace as an everyday affair. It felt like, it was more like grace was the enablement, or was an enablement. When they spoke of grace, they said things like, the apostles, the same apostles spoken of in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, perhaps not John, because John is quite a different gospel. Maybe one day we'll talk about that. But then the same apostles come to talk about, we saw the same grace that was bestowed upon us, bestowed upon them. And the same things like, we saw grace, you continue in the grace that you have received. It seemed to me that the grace was not something that happened once in a while and, oh my goodness, you're favored, but the grace was something that was fundamental and enabling. But then that's also accounts. The book of Acts is also eyewitness accounts. And so if we move on into the epistles beyond eyewitness accounts, where Paul writes letters to Christians, Paul starts to use lots and lots of the grace, and not just Paul, but other writers of the epistles, they use the grace. And we see also the pattern of enablement. I came to realize from several scriptures, however, I'll be sharing just two, like I mentioned earlier. I came to realize that grace happened to be the fundamental enablement for our Christian lives. Ephesians 2:8. What we received fundamentally as Christians, what made us Christians in the first place, was salvation, or is salvation, because you have salvation as a continuous thing. It's not something that you lose. You do not lose your salvation. Should I repeat myself? You do not lose your salvation. And so how you got that salvation is not by works, which is one of the reasons why you don't just lose it. It don't usually just lost, you know, it's not happening. So one of the ways you got that salvation was grace. Ephesians 2:8, and by grace have you been saved through faith. That's how you got saved. You were saved by grace through faith. So like Charles Spurgeon would say, faith is the aqueduct by which the springs of grace flow down to the thirsty sons of men. I love Charles Spurgeon, and if you want to get on his material, I will recommend his book, All of Grace. And so, we see that faith was just an arm stretched, that we stretched our arm to meet the arms of God that has been stretched towards us, and that is grace. And grace took hold of us. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It didn't have anything to do with us. We didn't do any work, and we talked about this in the Bible study segment, and took our hand and saved us. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Fundamentally, your salvation was orchestrated by grace. The enabling factor of your salvation is grace. Another verse I would like to speak about is Titus chapter 2, verse 11, that says, "The grace of God has appeared unto all men." So, appearance in this is much, it feels like it's backing what the apostles were seeing. And appearance, when I checked out the Greek translation, it's like a light that has shone. And you know how light cannot be hidden. That is what we've gotten as grace. The grace of God has appeared, has shone itself like a light upon our lives. And you see that when the apostles spoke of grace and the things that they saw, it seemed that they saw something. It seemed that they saw Jesus in these people. Grace itself, when we look at things that grace has, the enablement that grace has, if we fundamentally check it, the thing that we believed on, or whom we believed on, pardon me, was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is the grace that has appeared to us. He came and he sacrificed himself for our sake. If grace, or perhaps if salvation was attainable by anything that we could do, then Jesus, that grace, didn't have to appear to us. And so when we see grace in the new covenant, we see Christ. Christ is the appearance of grace. Christ is the showing of our grace that we have received as Christians. So grace, first of all, is not limited. It's very unlimited. So we see verses like Romans chapter 6 verse 1 that says, "Shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound?" And Paul's response to his own question is, "God forbid." No way. I think some versions will say that is foolishness. Does it make any sense to be enabled to do good works and continue to do bad works? No, he's like, what is wrong with you guys? It's so important that we understand that our lives are fundamentally lived by God's grace, not of ourselves. I mean, no part of your life is your own. You've been bought at a price. You are God's possession. You don't own yourself. Important, fundamental, and that's grace for you in this segment. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any further questions, if you have any comments at all, if you want to reach the people that I featured on this podcast episode, you can do that by reaching my social media, She Fancies That, which is SheFancysThat. So that's my Instagram, that's my Twitter, and that's also my Pinterest. And if you would want to, you can also send me a mail. Honestly, you can send me a mail. I'll take mails. But you're gonna need a pen and a pencil for this. So it's ArahNwabunie. So that's my name, ArahNwabunie@yahoo.com. So you can reach me. I'll take mails. I'll take questions. And we'll be doing this again next week. I'm so excited for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Yeah. So I remain Bunie, your amazing host. Signing out for today. Have an amazing week ahead.